While the starvation continues in Gaza, Israel and the US have pulled out of ceasefire talks with Hamas. US envoy Steve Witkoff accused Hamas of not acting in good faith and that the US will now look at alternative options to bring the remaining Israeli hostages home and create what he called a more stable environment for the people of Gaza. Now, Gershon Baskin, Middle East Director of the International Communities Organization, will speak shortly to Anya. But first, we're joined by British surgeon Professor Nick Maynard, who recently returned from Gaza, where he spent 4 weeks working inside Nasser Hospital in the south of the Strip. Professor Maynard, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for asking me.
And there is, as the WHO and others have said, a mass man-made starvation now across Gaza. What's happening is despicable, disgraceful, Bob Geldof called it. You're recently back. Will you tell us about your trip?
Yeah, I mean, it was awful in all aspects, really. I've been going to Gaza for 15 years. This is my third visit since October 2023. And each time I go, I think I'll be ready for it and prepared. But it's always much worse than I expected. And this most recent trip was no exception. I saw terrible injuries, terrible mass casualties from explosive injuries from bombs, from gun shootings at the food distribution points. And of course, terrible malnutrition leading to many deaths of adults. I operated on children, even newborns I saw who were dying of malnutrition. So it was inestimably worse than I'd expected.
Tell me more about the injuries from gunshots.
So this was a big difference from previous trips. Most my previous trips since October 23, I've seen predominantly explosive injuries from bombs, which have been terrible, of course. But on this trip, I saw multiple gunshot wounds, which I hadn't seen before in that number. And these were gunshot wounds inflicted on predominantly young male teenagers, sometimes as young as 11, 12, 13, 14, who were being shot at the food distribution points run by the so-called Gaza Humanitarian Foundation. And the narratives, the stories I got from the victims, from their families, and indeed from Gazan local healthcare workers, friends of mine, who used to go to these food distribution points, sometimes even between operations to get food for their starving families. And they described a very familiar story in all the cases that these young teenage boys were going to get food for their starving families. And amongst all the chaos, at these food distribution points, they were then being shot by Israeli soldiers or by the quadcopter remote control drones. And I saw just terrible, terrible injuries. One 12-year-old died on the operating table when we were operating on him. But even more distressing than the fact that these were young teenagers being shot was the pattern of injuries, the clustering of injuries to specific body parts on different days. So one day we would see mainly gunshot wounds to the head and neck. Another day we'd see gunshot wounds mainly to the abdomen or the chest. Another day the legs. And even on one day, about 12 days ago, we saw four young teenage boys coming in, all of whom had been shot in the testicles. And the clustering of these body part injuries was so dramatic that it's inconceivable that it was coincidental. And it seemed to us as if it was almost like the Israeli soldier were having target practice, playing a game. We're going to shoot for the head today, the abdomen tomorrow, the testicles the day after that. Truly, truly shocking, which I would not have believed possible had I not witnessed these injuries with my own eyes.
And your descriptions are truly shocking. And yet, people continue to go to these distribution centres run, as you say, by the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation. And they go because they risk lives to get food. If they don't get food, they starve.
Most certainly. They are desperate. And it's very difficult to describe the extent of the malnutrition, how thin these people are, but the desperation in them to get food because they are dying of hunger. They're dying of this man-made starvation imposed upon them by the Israeli government. And I see people dying of malnutrition. My patients that I've operated on from major explosive or gunshot injuries, they're coming in very malnourished. Their ability to heal from their injuries from their surgery is greatly impaired. And many of the internal repairs we do on the liver or the pancreas or the duodenum or the bowel, many of these repairs fall to pieces because they don't heal. And then they get terrible infections and many of them die. I spent time on the pediatric intensive care unit because I had patients I'd operated on there. There are premature newborn babies dying of malnutrition. Four babies died at the beginning of my stay there. These were children who had no other illnesses other than being premature and malnourished. Their mothers couldn't breastfeed because they were so malnourished. There was no formula feed to give them. There's been no formula feed for these infants that have been delivered to Gaza since the last ceasefire months ago. And indeed, doctors I know from America who specifically brought in formula feed because they knew there was a great need, those cartons of formula feed were all confiscated by the Israeli border guards. Very specifically the formula feed. Nothing else confiscated, but every single carton of formula feed taken away from them. It's barbarism at its very worst.
And you spent 4 weeks, as you say, on your most recent trip. How did you cope? And how are your colleagues who are there day and night now, how are they coping?
They are mentally, physically exhausted. They are starving as well. They are permanently hungry. People I've known for years sometimes, doctors and nurses I know there, I barely recognize some of them, having been there last summer, seeing the difference. Some of them lost 20, 30 kilograms in weight. So we experienced it for 4 weeks. We experienced how awful it is. Virtually all the doctors who go out there from abroad get ill out there. Everyone is hungry. We had much less food than we would normally eat. But it is, you know, we're there for a few weeks. We get a chance to get out there. These people have been there for 22 months. How they put up with it is beyond comprehension. They are the most inspirational people I've ever met, and I'm in complete awe of them. They carry on working, most of them not being paid, but working sometimes 24 hours a day, trying to save the lives of their fellow Gazans, yet they're starving themselves, they're hungry. And of course, when they finish, they don't go to a nice home, they go to their tent or their makeshift tent where they have been displaced sometimes for the seventh, eighth time, where they're living with their starving families. So they are a truly, truly inspirational people.
I don't know, Professor Maynard, if you get involved in the political, but your Prime Minister is to have an emergency call today with leaders from France, Germany, Saudi Arabia. France, we're told, in September is moving to recognise the state of Palestine. Donald Trump will be playing golf and meeting Keir Starmer in Scotland over the next few days. If you could speak to them, what would you be saying to them now?
I think I'd be conveying how appalled I am by the inaction of our governments, who I believe have been complicit in what is going on in Gaza. And yes, we're seeing a change in rhetoric. We're seeing these strong words from David Lammy, our foreign secretary, from Keir Starmer. But they're words. That's all they are. And in my view, they're worthless. We need actions. And we're not getting any actions. My government is still supplying arms to Israel, parts for the F-35 jets. They are still running daily reconnaissance flights from Cyprus over Gaza, giving information to the Israelis. They are still hosting senior members of the Israeli government and the military in the UK. They have failed to call out there is indeed a genocide and multiple war crimes being carried out. They have failed to recognise what the ICJ and the ICC have said in terms of the charges they've laid against Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu. So these are just words, and they are meaningless unless they take actions, and they have failed to do so, and they need to.
Will you go back again? Will you be allowed back again?
I'll certainly intend to go back. I mean, I've got some delicate negotiations with my wife purse, as you can imagine. But I will absolutely intend to go back. Whether I'm allowed in or not is always unclear, because they are refusing entry to many people now. But I will absolutely intend to go back if I can.
Well, Professor Nick Maynard, we appreciate you taking time to talk to us this morning. Thank you very much indeed. It's 24 minutes past 8 o'clock.